I want to say a special thank you. October is a pretty big month for Sean and I. In October, we celebrate our anniversary. And so we celebrated 39 years married. And so we're really excited about that. But it's also Pastor's Appreciation Month. And it seems like this comes real quick. And just the blessing that our church is to the staff here. I know that Pastor Mike and Ruth West will join me in just being forthright in how much we love each of you and just how special you are. This right here meant the world to me. And I don't know if you participated in this, but I think that this was being passed out when I was preaching, and I thought you were taking notes and you were writing some novels in here. I have started to read some of them, and I just could not stop laughing and crying. And just cards mean a lot to me. I'm one of those persons that I really cherish cards. I have a big binder of all the cards that I have received, and I can always go back to those cards and say somebody loves me when I'm feeling unloved, right? I have a little bit of a ring, by the way, just sound. I have a little bit of a tail at the end, so just help me with that. And then I also received this treasure, and it's from the after-school program, right? ASP. And I'm able, like, if I'm having a bad day, I'm able to go in here and pick out one of these little nuggets right here and unfold it, and each one of the kids put something to me, and it says on there, it says, "You have a nice smile with big teeth." I mean, who couldn't have a good day with that, right? It's beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for the after school program children. I so appreciate you. So we're in a series on serving in the month of October because we're getting ready to close the doors of our church buildings and open up our hearts and our hands and our feet to our communities by going and serving them, being the hands and feet of Jesus. We've been doing this for years. And so as we think about that, you know, this is not the church right here. The building's not the church. This is where we go to worship. We're the church. And we can't make a difference in our community, in the people that have never been to a building like this until they know that we do care, right? It's one thing to say that we care. It's another thing to actually show that we care. So Serve Our City is all about that. And if you're going to be coming next Sunday morning to the church service in the building, you will find that we've left the building. So I want for all of you to get signed up. We have sign-up sheets in the cafe, and Brent and Becky Strand, our missions directors, are putting teams in different locations. So we're going to have a team in Oracle, like we do all the time. We're going to have a team in San Manuel, team in Mammoth, team in Kearney, and possibly a team in Winkleman or Hayden. And so we're spread out all over the place, and I'm hoping that all of us together can make a difference for the glory of God. It's not about us, it's about Jesus Christ. So let's be ready to do that. We started out the series by emphasizing that serving starts in the home. And we talked about serving our family and how important that is. And if you were not here for that message, I would encourage you to go online and go to our website and listen to that message. And then last week we talked about serving in the church and how we're better together. In fact, we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve each other and to build the church up. In fact, we're incomplete without people serving. The church will never be what she's supposed to be if everyone just sits in pews. Amen? This is not about, well, the pastor, that's why we pay you to do that. The reality is the Bible shows us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4 is pastors and teachers and those in servant leadership are called to equip the church body to do the works of God. amen, to minister in our, not only in our church services, but also throughout our lives. And so today we're going to be going to how do we move beyond the church walls and make a difference in our community. D.L. Moody put it like this, great theologian, wonderful man of God. He said, of 100 men that you will talk to, one will read the Bible and the 99 will read the Christian, right? One will you can say, hey, this will change your life, and they'll read the Bible. The other 99 of the 100 people that you come into contact with, they're reading your life. And our lives speak. Amen? I think it was St. Francis of Assisi that said, share the gospel everywhere you go, but if necessary, use words. In other words, let your life reflect a life of action, right? We want to be doers, not just sayers. And that's why every year we go out to do good in our communities. We've painted canopies in parks. We went to the Kearney Park, and we were able to do this. It's beautiful to see families work together, husband and wives. You deepen your love for one another and for Jesus by serving your city and making a difference. In fact, if you're having problems like coming to church, and I know nobody in this service, but maybe the next service, maybe had a little tiff on the way to church, right? Nobody here, but it happens, right? But if you want to make things better, just work together and do it for the glory of God. And so husbands and wives, you can deepen your love for each other. We learn how to work together for the glory of God. And we've done San Manuel Park. We've done all kinds of different places and just restored and refurnished those locations. And we do it by your generosity as well, because when you give, we buy the paint, we buy the wood, the material to go into these places and do it without any cost to them, just because Jesus is good. Amen. And because he cares about people. There's a place in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, in Romans, that he says in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, people everywhere, they keep telling me about your lives of faith. In other words, your faith is being talked about everywhere I go. And look at what it says in the message. And every time I hear them, I thank God for what he's doing, because I'm hearing about your faith everywhere I go. And why did people talk about the faith of the church in Rome? I would say it was probably because it was a church in action. It was a church that just didn't say they cared, they showed they cared. Are you with me? It's one thing to tell people what we know. It's one thing to show them what we know. And we do that by being doers, not just sayers. It attracts people that maybe would never go to church. I have a short video of a lady in Mammoth who came out of her home to talk to one of our teams several years back. And why did she do that? Because she saw the activity and she saw these individuals. Here's the you know, they're in a Latino neighborhood, right? And she sees all these individuals that are not Latinos. And they were like, one of these things does not belong here. One of these things is not the same. I think that's how the song went from Sesame Street, if I remember correctly. And so she went out there, hey, neighborhood watch in the big town of Mammoth. And I want to show this video real quick because I think it speaks volumes about how God operates. Let's go ahead and show that.
Okay, so your name is?
Estela.
Estela?
Pedregó, that's a P.
And you came over to find out what?
What's going on? All these people here.
What's going on?
And you told me what?
I said, I'm here because something sent me over here to find out what was going on.
And you found out that we are?
From the church.
And we are here to
help out with the
share the hands of Jesus.
Yes.
And we love our neighbors.
A little bit of coaching there.
Serve them.
Yes, and we come in here to be friendly with people.
And we feel blessed.
Yes, let them know that we care. We care for people that come around our town.
Oh, thank you so much.
They want to know who's going around the town is what they want to know.
I love you guys too.
Yeah, I just love it when Mexicans go out and there's white people, right? And they're like, hey, what are you doing invading? Good job, Rhonda. You didn't know that was going to happen, huh? So how we represent Jesus in our families, in our jobs, in our schools, and in our communities, it matters. And I want us to go to Matthew's gospel for the text that we're going to be looking at for today. Because in this passage, we're going to see that Jesus actually desires for his children, for his people to make a difference in the world. This is from Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it really urges me to move out of the four walls of a church building. And he says to the disciples, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And then he goes on and says, verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And God wants for us to make the world taste better. God wants for us to point the world to the light, and that's Jesus. And you'll never be able to do that if everything that we do is done in a church building setting. You cannot be the salt of the earth if you never go out into the earth. You'll never be the light of God if you never bring the light out from inside the church. So I just believe with all of my heart that the more we're out in our community making a difference for the glory of God, the more that people see the light of Christ. And so I want to give you some takeaways from that text right there that I want for you to process as we get ready to go out next week. Here's the first one. It's amazing what Jesus does for us. It's amazing what Jesus has already done for us. What has he done for us? Well, he's granted us forgiveness, complete forgiveness. So every person in here, you should have your head up high. No one should be walking in condemnation. No one should be walking in as a product of your past. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And he's done that for us. It's already done. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. On the cross, he says, it is finished. It's complete. I did what no man can do, what no religion can do, what no philosophy can do. So he grants us forgiveness. He also grants us access to the Father. I can go to the Father confidently and even boldly. I can go to the Father no matter if I'm going through a high time or a low time. I can go to the Father with full access because of Jesus Christ. He's done that for me. He's laid out that pathway that I can go to the Father because he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. And so he's done that for us. He also sets me free from the law. So I'm not saved by what I have to do. I'm saved by what he did. And the commandments to me now are a tutor to point me to my Savior. And because I'm saved through Christ, not only has he saved me from having to do the law, he's working inside of my heart and changed my heart, transformed my heart, and given me the word and the spirit to be able to do the things that I could never do before. Amen? But I'm not ever going to say when I get to heaven, when I go before the Lord, we will never say, if you trust in Christ, hey, this is what I did for you, Lord. We'll just say, Lord, you did it all. You paid the price. So he frees us from the law. And that's why the gospel is good news. The good news is that God has done great things for us. Jesus has predestined us. He's saved us. He's called us. He sanctified us, and then he's glorified us. And when you grab a hold of that, you begin to understand in him doing what he's done, he adds flavor to your life. The salt of God. And I don't know about you, but I like a little bit of flavor on my food. Amen? And without that flavor in your food, it's just blah. So Christians are not called to be blah. We're called to make a difference in the world. You know, he says, you are the salt of the earth. And I don't think that we appreciate salt as much as it should be appreciated. I think that even in the medical field, they have pushed salt down and said you can't have salt. I think, don't get me started on the American Standard Diet. Don't get me started there. You don't want me to go there. I think that God's given us everything that he's provided for us for a reason. And I thought about this, even just, I grew up playing sports. I played sports in high school, and I didn't even think about it until I got older, recently. And there were times where players would get cramps on the field. And they were very technical back in the 80s and the 70s. You know, they were very technically advanced. What would they give you when you got a cramp on the field? A salt pill. The necessity of that, and it brought healing. It began to pour into your body what you needed. And so you begin to process, is salt bad, or is salt bad whenever you put everything else bad into your body? Amen? It's not a nutrition class, but it's going to be. Right? You begin to say, what am I going to put into my body that's going to make my body at the most optimal place? And then everything that is needed is actually good for you. So somehow, I have to believe Jesus when he says that salt is good. I have to believe Jesus when he says you are the salt of the earth. And I know that salt does at least three things. At least three things. First of all, salt adds flavor. So I talked about we should be the flavor of this world. Amen? Not tasteless flavor, not flavor that is distorted, but the flavor of God. That people see the tact and the morality of God and the things that make for a healthy society. Amen? And so we're being the salt of the earth as a church when we provide a place for children to go where they can have a safe place and they can be poured in a foundation with God at the very center. Amen? So we've talked about that. We've talked about putting a school, and we're working on that. And, you know, in 2 or 3 years, we'll have this school, and the foundations are going to be just education. We're going to focus on education, grammar and arithmetic and social studies and science, without the ideologies of you know, what gender are you, and all these things that kids shouldn't even be dealing with. Why are we going to do that, beloved? Why? Because we're the salt of the earth. So the church adds flavor. I have to believe that Rhonda and Gary Hayes, when they were in Mammoth, they added a little bit of flavor. Mammoth has La Casita, but they also had Hayes Casita. But that's not the only thing that salt does. In the historical context, in that place right there, they also used it for preservation. It would keep meat from decaying. They didn't have, LG, and they didn't have, What are some other appliance names, right? They didn't have these. Let's go to Home Depot and get, you know, one of these refrigerators, you know, especially with a four doors and bottom and all that. They didn't have that. They had what? Hey, go get some salt. And let's preserve this meat. And so salt was vital in those days. Well, can I tell you, salt is still here on this earth. And you're it. And you're called not to go decay the world, but to go and preserve it. Amen? The Bible says that we should not conform to the world, not conform to what part of the world? Decay. We should not conform to that, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So salt is working inside of us, Jesus being the great salt shaker. He's working inside of us, the Holy Spirit working in us so that we can go and make a difference for people. Amen? But what else does salt do? I'm not talking to anyone in here because none of you guys have ever been to a bar. I'm not talking to the other. But why do they give you popcorn with a lot of salt when you go to the bar? Why do they give you, peanuts? And you say, oh, they're so nice. They give me mixed nuts with all kinds. It's so good. Drink another one. So salt makes you thirsty. So you are the salt of the earth. Are you making people thirsty for God? When you go around people, do you smell like fresh popped popcorn? And when they get a taste of your business, do they actually leave thirsting for more of Jesus in your life? You see, that's what we're called to do. You see, I got to go back to you guys, Gary and Rhonda. I got to go back to you because this lady, and we have it on tape, came out of her house and walked to wherever you were at because she was thirsty for what you had. And that is what we're all called to be. We're called to make us, God has called us to be salty in a good way. Amen? And the saltier we are, the more that we're going to add flavor to the world. The saltier that we are, the more that we're going to preserve all the decay around us. And the saltier that we are, the more that we're going to make people thirst for what they need to thirst. In John 8, this is what Jesus said, because not only are we called to be salt, we're also called to illuminate the world. And it's not you, beloved. It's not me. It's Jesus in us. And Jesus in John 8, verse 12, he says, he spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Here's the call from Jesus. If you follow me, you will follow the light. And your life is illuminated. And I talk about this all the time. I talk about how God found me here, but he didn't leave me here. He brought me here. Amen? And anyone that's walked with Jesus, you know you're not comfortable in the dark places. Say amen if you believe that. If you're comfortable in the dark places, you haven't met the Jesus that I know. If you're comfortable going back to the vomit that you came out of, you haven't met the Jesus that I know. Because Jesus takes you out of darkness and brings you into the light. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Ephesus. He says, not only did you live in darkness, but you were darkness. He's talking to me. For you were once darkness. Notice it doesn't say you walked in darkness. Paul says you were darkness, but now you are light. What kind of light? In the Lord. So the light that is working in me and through me, because I was dark before I came to Christ. I say this all the time. Jesus found me in a dark place. He reached way deep down. He went way down in the mud to get James Reese. He pulled me out. He cleansed all my sins with the blood of Christ. He cleansed me. He made me new, but he left me dark on the outside. But on the inside, I'm bright, right? And so you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You need to walk as children of light. And let me tell you something. You are not going to be walking as children of light if all you do is come on Sunday and sit. You've got for 1 hour before you come and you sit there on the, I wonder why they call them pews. Because if you sit too long, you start to pewy. But God wants us to move out of the pews with the light and make a difference in our world. Because that's what he's done for us. Now, this is very, very interesting. If you guys know science, how many of you know science? A little bit of science. The sun is the light of the what? Of the day. Amen? The sun is a light. It provides light. No, wherever the sun, S-U-N, is, it illuminates brightness into the day. Now, when night comes, there's another source of light. It's called the what? The moon. Now, does the moon produce light? The moon is a reflection of the sun. Okay? So we are the moon of this world because the S-O-N produces light and he reflects his light from us. Are you with me? And so that's what he's done for every one of us. Now here's the second thing that I want you to take away. It's amazing what Jesus does in us. So not only has he done things for us, but then he does things in us. And that's important for you to grab a hold of because God is working, he's working to make a difference, not only for your life, but in your life. And if you read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for God is working, say it with me, in you. He's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see, you begin to resist the flesh. The flesh is that part of us that wants to do things independently of God. And you begin to accept what the Holy Spirit is trying to produce in us. And then you say, Lord God, not my will be done, but your will be done. Amen? And then you begin to desire the things that God has placed in your life, the good works that he's placed in our life. Do you think that we thought up the idea of going into our cities and doing work for our cities? Do you think that it was us, or do you think that it was the Holy Spirit working in us? Do you think that you know you're producing all of these good things that you're doing for people, or could you consider that possibly it's the Holy Spirit that's working in you to give you the desires and the power and the strength to do everything God has called us to do? Amen? Here's one thing that I know for sure. What the Bible shows me is I will never get glory for anything. All the glory belongs to him. Even for my salvation, it wasn't like one day I woke up saying, you know what, today I'm going to become a good person. I'm going to go to the park with my homies. They're going to have a keg of beer there at the park, and we're going to be partying like it's 1999, and we're just going to be having a good time. But today, I'm such a good person that I'm going to realize that it's done, it's over, because I want to become a good person and go to the church with all the other good people. right? And because I just want to be a good person. It doesn't work that way. It works like this. The Holy Spirit works and he nudges your heart. And he begins to say, you're missing something. And then you begin to say, I'm missing something. I'm missing something in my life. There's got to be more to life than this. There's someone missing in my life. And then you say, God, you know, God, if you're real, show me. And God said, I was waiting for you to ask. I was waiting for that moment. I'm nudging you for that moment. And then he shows you what he's done for you so that he can show you what he'll do in you. Amen. How many of you give the Holy Spirit room to work inside of you? Because let me tell you something. There's church attendees that you just come to church and you sit there and then you go and you walk away the same way that you walked in. It should never be that way, beloved. You should always walk out with God spoke to me about an action step. Amen? It should always be about what am I going to do with what God spoke through a vessel. I'm just a vessel. I am just a spokesperson for the Lord. I will give an account for how I speak about him and how I allow him to speak through me. But we all have to take action steps for God. So he wants to work in you, right? Verse 13, again, Matthew 5:13. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and it just trampled underfoot as worthless. And think about flavorless salt. I did a little bit of research on flavorless salt, and it's salt that's been mixed with water. In other words, it's dissolved, because salt really doesn't lose its component. But what happens is if it's mixed, then it loses its consistency. It loses its potency. Now think about if you mix your relationship with Jesus with everything else in the world, you will lose your potency and your consistency. Say amen if you believe that. You want to be Redmond's real salt. You know what I mean? You want to be like a very good salt that has all the nutrients, that has not been cleansed. Because sometimes you get salt that's been cleansed, right? It's been bleached. I don't want bleached salt. I want real salt. And as I've taken my health journey, I began to learn that real salt is better than bleached salt. But it also teaches me a very important thing. It teaches me a very important thing. That real Christians are a lot better than bleached Christians. If the world or even religion has dissolved the potency of Christ in you, we're not the real deal. Why do we go out into the cities? Because we want to be the real deal. Why do we use the gifts that God has given to us in the church? We want to be the real deal. Why do we make a difference in our homes? Because we want to be the real deal. We don't want our kids to go home with us, or our grandkids to go home with us, and to say the way you act at church is completely contrary to the way you act at home. Are you with me? We want to be real salt. We want to make it, and the only way that you're going to be real salt is by allowing the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ, to make that difference in us. All of us are a work in progress, but let me tell you, we need to make progress. That's why Jesus says you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. So I'm driving, stay with me, camera. I'm driving yesterday, coming back from Mesa. And as I'm driving from Mesa, there's something new that has happened. And it's not like really new, but it's new from 20 years ago. Or 15 years ago, 10 years ago. So I'm driving on 79, right? And I'm coming down 79. And right when I'm getting about 10 miles out, from the junction, I see illumination. And I see a city in the forming. And I like going to that little community. It's called the ranch. But let me tell you something. There was a time in the history of this geography when that community was not there. And can I tell you what was there when I came off of 79, 20, 25 years ago? Darkness. No illumination. No brightness. Nothing to point you to people that God cares about. Now think with me, because this is all relative, beloved. It's so relative. But now, you know what I see? I see progress. I see people moving in. I see the light of people that shows that there's life there. Amen? And so it's not a lifeless place. Now it's a place filled with life and people, and the lights illuminate that reality. Now, why is that important, beloved? Because, can I tell you, if the church is non-existent in our communities, all they have is darkness. If you think that your life is about coming here and sitting here in these pews every single Sunday and judging the message by what you heard and not allowing that to internalize your spirit and your heart, and all you do is talk about how bad this is and how bad that is, why don't we make a difference for the glory of God? Why don't we actually begin to actually move out and be the salt that God has called us to be? Why don't we actually let God build in us a city like the ranch? A city like Lordsburg, New Mexico. Recently, someone brought me, they flew over Lordsburg, New Mexico, and they said, hey, we're going to fly over Lordsburg. Where did you live? And so I wasn't able to give him my address, but he took images of Lordsburg, New Mexico, and he took these wide images, these close-ups of Lordsburg, New Mexico. I remember being a kid coming from Silver City, right? From Highway 70, we come from Silver City, New Mexico, and as you're coming down the hill, I could see Lordsburg just illuminate. And I always thought it was such a big, big city. It was such a small, small town. But the lights changed everything. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how big a church body is. It matters how bright a church body is. Can I tell you, there's a lot of churches with a mass amount of people, but they're not shining very bright. Hear me now. And then there's churches with a smaller amount of people, but they light up the heavens because of what they do. Can we be that church? Can we be that church that we're going to light up our world, that we're going to bloom where we're planted, that we're going to do whatever God has called us to do for his glory because he is in us? And then here's your last takeaway. I'm going to begin to close. The last takeaway is simply this. It's amazing what Jesus will do through us. So let's just process what I've said. It's amazing what Jesus does for us. It's amazing what Jesus does in us, but it's always so that he can work through us. People don't care about how much of the Bible you know until they know how much of the Bible you live. Paul writing to the church in Rome again, chapter 12, verse 9 and 11. This is beautiful, beautiful from the NLT. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, I love the way it finishes in verse 11. I love it. never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, it's so important that we understand that the root of the word enthusiastically means in God. In other words, the things that you do, do it in God so that God can work through you. And God is calling us to make a difference in our world. God gives us the ability to make a difference in our world. Now, the choice is, will you? The choice is, will I? But here's what I think about. I can talk about how bad my neighbors are, which I don't, because I see God working in my neighborhood. I can talk about how perverted the world is, and I won't. I won't give the devil the platform. I won't talk about, you know, how the world is headed to, headed to hell in a handbasket. I don't say all those things because I'm called to make a difference in this world for the glory of Christ. I'm called to quit talking about how bad things are and to make a choice and bring the good of God into our world. Are you with me? The world is not bigger than God. The devil is not greater than Jesus Christ. We need to resist the temptation to be a part of the world's negativity. And we need to embrace the invitation that Jesus said, you're salt and you're light for his glory. Amen? Let's leave this service with the mentality, we're going to make a big difference for the glory of Jesus Christ next week. Let's get signed up to be in a community and let's show them the love of God. Can we do that together? Yeah, can we give God a big hand and say we're actually going to do something about it because he's worthy? Let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every person here. Thank you for being here, Holy Spirit. I just really sense your presence. Thank you for glorifying Christ in and through this message. I pray that that person that needs to be moved across the threshold, that today they will put their trust in Jesus, that they'll admit that they're a sinner, Lord, that they'll come to you. They will believe on Jesus. They'll confess you, Lord, in their hearts and in their mouth, and that you will begin to make a difference for the glory of the kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Let's worship him together.
Hey, I had green beans for dinner.
Green what?
Yeah, I had green beans for dinner.
Hey, Pastor. Hey, did you brush your teeth today?
Why?
Did you brush your teeth today?
Why?
I was just wondering.
Hey, Pastor James, did you know that African cicada tortoises don't hibernate?
What do you got right there on your nose?
Pastor James, did you see the squirrel run across the field yesterday?
Hey, PJ, did you know that the oldest your mama joke dates back 3,500 years?
You got something on your nose, dude.
Great job, brother.
Thank you.
Did you know the elevator shaft was invented before the elevator?
Really?
Yeah.
I just want to say I appreciate you, but can you make sure you bring it today so no one falls asleep?
Did you know that you're a centimeter taller in the morning than you are at night?